In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We hear a lot of voices in our times, especially in America, that claim that being a Christian is all about being happy. And of course, none of us want to be unhappy, but that's not what the Christian life is all about, because we want to be happy in the next life more than we want to be happy in this life. Just down the freeway a little bit, we've got Lakewood Church, and you might have heard Victoria Osteen recently quoted. She said that we should do good not for God but for ourselves, because it makes us happy, and that's what God wants, is to make us happy. And it's true that God does want to make us happy, but that's not why we should worship God, is so that we can be happy. We should worship God because He is God, and He's the source of everything that we have, and we should love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But even in the Orthodox Church, you sometimes will hear people who will make statements that essentially are echoing the same kind of sentiments as far as giving people what they want. I mean, that's the American way. That's how we do business, is we find out what people want and we give it to them. And so we have people who say, well, the polls are showing that people don't agree with this teaching of the church anymore, so therefore maybe we should modify that teaching in some way. Well, we don't teach anything because we want to give people what they want. We teach what is true. And if the church teaches something that's not true, then we might as well just hang it up and stay home on Sunday mornings and have a cup of coffee and watch TV, because there's no point in coming here. So if we're modifying what we believe because we're trying to make people happy, we're really wasting our time, because they could be even more happy if they just stayed home and didn't worry about coming to church. We also have people who will say things like, well, we should reduce or eliminate the fast. We should shorten the services. We should do this or that to make the services more relevant to people or more accessible to people. Well, I guarantee you that when the fathers of the church and the apostles and the saints came up with the various aspects of our services and our traditions that we observe, that they weren't consulting church growth people and finding out what do people really want and then giving it to them. Because I guarantee you no church growth consultant would say, hey, why don't you have them fast for half of the year? That wouldn't be something that anyone would recommend. Hey, why don't you have services like the kneeling vespers of Pentecost, where people are on their knees for so long that they're in great pain by the end of the service? That's not something that people want. But why is it that the church does all of these things? Well, the church is trying to teach us what Christ talked about in the Gospels. Christ said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, we're told that St. Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, was exhorting those who had become disciples that they should, quote, continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So to be a Christian is not to take the path of least resistance. It's not the easy way. Christ did say in the Gospels that his yoke was easy and his burden was light, but what the fathers say that means is that when we receive the grace that Christ gives us, when we take on that yoke voluntarily, that it becomes easy. But that doesn't mean that it's the easier way. Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the Christian way is a way that is a difficult way in comparison with the other alternatives out there. It can become easy if we receive God's grace and if we do it out of love, because anything that we do out of love becomes much easier. If you were told that you had to work as a slave in somebody's home and the people there were mean and cruel to you, that would be a very difficult life. But there are housewives all over America who get up every day and do as much work as a slave would do for their family, but they're motivated by the love of their family, and it's not a great weariness to them. And that's very much of an analogy to the Christian life. The things that we do may be difficult, certainly in comparison with what sinners do, but they're easy if we do them for the right reason. But if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be a Christian, that means that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. Once again, when we talk about fasting, why do we fast? Fasting is really not all that difficult. I mean, is it really so difficult for you to eat a vegetarian dish that's nice versus eating a dish that's not Lenten? I mean, it's not a huge sacrifice on your part to choose to eat the Lenten dish. But that's a small way that we train ourselves to say no to our own desires, because we might want to have that steak, or we might want to have that omelet or whatever. But we have to make a choice. The church teaches us that we're supposed to be fasting right now, and out of obedience, I'm going to choose to eat this Lenten food rather than eat this non-Lenten food. And that easy choice that we make, relatively speaking, teaches us to say no to our own desires, so that when we're faced with a real temptation, it's much more natural and easy for us to say no. We're not going to take the easy way, we're going to take the hard way. Taking up our cross is to take on the struggle of doing that which you know you have to do and enduring that which you know you have to endure as a Christian. St. Luke's Gospel adds an important word to the saying of Christ in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Every day we have to take up our cross. And you might have been working at a job where you don't feel like you're appreciated by your boss or your coworkers, and the alarm clock rings on Monday morning, and you have to make a decision. Am I going to do the right thing? Am I going to continue to be a responsible husband and father and go to work so that I can provide for my family, even though it's not the easiest thing? It would be much easier for me to just stay home and watch TV. That's a small way in which we have to take up our cross. But also, there might be occasions where people around you are mocking Christ. They're making fun of things that are holy, and you have to make a decision. Are you going to take a stand for Christ, or are you just going to go along with the crowd? Well, taking a stand might make you some enemies, or it might bring on some of that ridicule that Christ is getting onto you. But if you're taking up your cross, you're going to be willing to endure that. You may not feel like loving your wife or your children or your husband, or your irritating neighbor, or your coworkers, or your boss. But if you're a Christian, each and every day you have to take up your cross and do the right thing and choose to love those people and not go by your feelings, because it's not a question of how you feel, it's a question of you doing the right thing. Christ said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth not after me is not worthy of me." If we want to be worthy of Christ, we have to take up our cross, however small it may be or however big it may be. And each one of us has a different cross in life, and we may see someone else that we may look down, or we may be inclined to judge because we see some shortcoming in them, but we should recognize that we don't know what cross that person's really bearing, and so not judge that person, but to focus on ourselves and what we need to do. You have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and you have to follow Christ. You have to strive to be like Christ, to be Christ-like to those that are around you. Christ emptied himself of all the divine riches and prerogatives and glory that he had, and he took on the form of a servant in the incarnation, and he suffered death on the cross because he loved us. And if we would be Christians, we too have to become servants to our brothers and sisters and to suffer for the salvation of those that are around us, and be willing even to die for the sake of Christ. Amen.